This thing, my Bible's too heavy. It's Communion Sunday this morning, so I'm going to share out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But let's just open in prayer. My one son's leaving on a mission trip to Mexico this week, so not the one that was just singing, but another one. And let's pray over that team as they go and God's protection. Father, I just thank you for your protection over this team that's going to Mexico. Father, you just guide their steps. Father, your angels surround and protect them as they go. And Father, that they will be able to minister where you have placed them and touch lives in that area where they're going. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the snow, Father. We're to be thankful in everything. And Father, that we know it'll go and there'll be a good Indian summer here this fall. And Father, I just thank you that we can have a thankful heart no matter what we're facing each day. Amen. So I'm going to share out of the communion chapter, seeing as it's Communion Sunday, and share some truths here that God's taught me over the years. Again, I'm going to focus on one particular verse, but you know the communion chapter. I'll just read through it, and I'll start in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason there are many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If we were to judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we're judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not become condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If one is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I'll set in order while I come." So I'm going to focus on verse 29, but I'll say this. We know as Christians that we walk in love and forgiveness, okay? We've all heard those communion messages. So I'll leave it at that, and I'll focus on this particular verse because I think a lot of Christians are missing it because they don't understand exactly what Jesus has done for you. And if there's doubt or wondering in your mind, it's hard to reach out and take what God's promised you. So in verse 29, there's a word there that's in the New King James. It says discerning the Lord's body. And I got a Spirit Life Bible. So if you got a Spirit Life Bible, a lot of it gives the definitions of particular words. And the definition of this word in the Spirit Life Bible is, part of that word means doubting. Okay, and here's the definition. It says, to judge thoroughly, to decide between two choices, to make a distinction and separate two components or elements or factors, to render a decision and evaluate carefully. The word also connotates a conflict within oneself in the sense of hesitating, having misgivings, doubting, being divided in a decision, making or wavering between hope or fear. So in this particular verse, it's talking about the difference between the blood and the body of Jesus. And if we don't make a distinction and understand what Jesus did, you all know his blood was shed for your salvation, right? It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Okay? It says in James virtually the same words, except you shall be healed. James 5, 14 and 15. So you see the two components of the body and the blood of Jesus. So I'm going to build your faith on what the bread of life that was given to us. His body was broken for you. I'm going to distinguish. I'm going to understand that Jesus paid the price for my physical healing. The Bible is clear that he paid that price, but if we have doubt or we don't distinguish that or we're wavering, how many know you can't reach out and take what you're wavering? It says in James that if you doubt, you can't receive from God. And that's what that word means. It means doubting or making a distinction or wavering. And he said, many are sick and many are weak and many die because they're doubting or wavering or don't understand what Jesus has done or have not been taught. How many know God wants you healthy? And if he has to use a good doctor to get you healthy, so be it. How many know God's wanting people not to be suffering? But if we come to an understanding of what he did and the price that's been paid, and that is clear foundation in our life, then we won't be wavering. Okay? I always say there's a lot of Christians that are in heaven that shouldn't be there yet. That's what that scripture says. It says, many are weak, many are sick, and many sleep because they didn't distinguish or didn't understand what Jesus has done. I mean, it's great to be in heaven, but not yet. I got a call yesterday. Acquaintances ours, their 29-year-old son died, leaving a bunch of kids. How many know that's not God? That's right out of the pit. But as I prepared to this message, the father said to me, well, the Lord took him. How many know that is a lie? God doesn't kill 29-year-old boys. They're boys to me with a bunch of little kids. Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have more life, more abundance. The thief steals, kills, and destroys. Now, if those kids are told that, how do you think they'll think about God? Right? You can tell stuff like that gets me ticked. Because he's my father and he's good. Let's not blame him. Okay? We live in a fallen world that Satan is doing everything he can to destroy, to steal, to kill. Okay? If our foundation is strong and we understand what Jesus has done, then we can stand our ground. Okay, so let's get some foundation strong. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. It's the prophetic. Isaiah prophesied. Oh, I got a falling stand again. I got too heavy of a Bible. In Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah was prophesying. You going to get me one other one, are you? The wood one probably won't fall. Thanks, Terrell. And I have Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah is saying, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Just a little bit of information there. The Bible says the stars are God's handiwork. Okay? The Bible says in Luke 11, 20 that Jesus cast out demons with the finger of God. That's what Jesus did to demons. But he used his arm to redeem you. So what does he think of you? Okay? To whom has the arm or the power of the Lord been revealed? Okay, I'll skip a few verses. Verse 3, it says, he was talking about Jesus. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised and we did not esteem him. In the New King James, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But if you look in the margin of your Bible, the exact words was, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. Yet we esteem him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, that are outward sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, that's the inward ones. The chastisement from our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's again in Peter 2:24. It says, by his stripes ye were, past tense, healed. How many know salvation came to the earth roughly 2,000 years ago? Did it not? So salvation, the price that was paid for my soul, came when Jesus rose from the dead. He died on the cross, bore my sin, and rose from the dead. Well, the Bible says the same, by his stripes ye were healed. Healing was paid for back then too. In fact, if you look at in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by his bruise, singular, you were healed. In other words, Jesus was one massive bruise. He took those stripes for you and me. He paid the physical price for physical healing. And if we don't understand that in the communion chapter, if we don't understand that price has been paid, then we'll be wavering or doubting or wondering. Okay? If you think God's doing it to you, how can you go to him and then pray and ask for healing? Just a question. The bottom line is you can't. If you've been taught it's God's will for you to be sick, how can you go to him for healing? Because it might be getting out of his will. Okay? I'm going to answer some questions and make you think a little bit. I mean, it's good to think once in a while. When you bring up healing, okay, often than not, people bring up Job. Can we put that to rest once and for all? In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 1, you want to flip to Hebrews chapter 1? And verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Okay? In the past time, he spoke to us by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So who do we listen to now? Jesus. So what did Jesus say and what did Jesus do? That's who we should be basing our faith in these days. He will never contradict the scriptures, ever. But let's look at Jesus and we'll get the correct interpretation of the scriptures. Okay? We can even become off by looking at Paul over Jesus. And Paul wrote, what, almost half of the New Testament? Not quite. But we have to interpret what Paul said through Jesus. So if you look, and I've always looked at this as a dividing line in the Bible where I base my faith, is John 10:10. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have more abundant life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if it's stealing and killing and destroying, it's not coming from Jesus. Where did sickness come from? Tell me, is there any sickness in heaven?
No.
So when mankind fell, Satan is the author. Sickness came through our fall. Well, Jesus paid the price. We've been redeemed. Okay? And if you'll understand that God is speaking us through Jesus, and we'll see what Jesus said and did, we'll know what God's will is. Okay? In Matthew chapter 8, I'm just going to hit some things here just to give you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8. Okay? And verse 1, actually verse 2, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, said, I am willing, be cleansed. You see what Jesus' answer is when you come to him? There's no instance in the Bible where Jesus said, no, it's not my will to heal you. It's not in there. How about Jesus wants you well? He wants you healed. If we understand the foundation of it is through when we take communion, then we got a position to stand on. What I'm trying to do is give you a basis to stand on so that you know in your mind clearly that God's not your problem. Okay? He has paid the price. All right? And if you have that foundation under you, then you can stand and fight. You can stand and overcome because you have a foundation to stand on. But if you don't have the foundation to stand on, you'll forever be wavering like that word. You'll be ever trying to doubt or make a distinction of what that particular word means. So you need the foundation under you so that you can stand. All right? In Acts chapter 10, 38, and I quoted this to the kids downstairs, the young people downstairs. This is what Jesus did. Acts 10, 38, Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, and destroying the works of the devil. That's what he did. Okay? That was his ministry. Okay? So you see what the works of the devil are. Healing, sickness, and disease were the works of the devil. Jesus went about healing and destroying the works of the devil. So you need to understand and have that foundation under you. Okay? Then we can have an expectant faith that Jesus will do what he said he would do. Because I listen to a lot of Christians when they're talking and I found that they don't have that foundation. They don't have the foundation that they know that they know that they know that Jesus paid the price for their physical sickness. See? I'm going to go to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and then I'll go into James and just show you the difference. In fact, there's very little difference, but just show you in Romans 10, 9 and 10, actually verse 8, what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So at some point, you heard that message. You may have came to the front of the church, maybe this church, maybe whatever church, or maybe wherever you were. And you prayed what we call the sinner's prayer. And you accepted Jesus. You said, yes, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then you had the audacity to go tell someone you were a Christian with no evidence. Did you not? Didn't you walk back to the church and everybody's happy now you're a Christian? Is that what you did? That's what I did. I spoke and told people what God had done for me, that I'm now a born-again Christian. I spoke that with my mouth. And I said that's what happened to me. Okay? I confess Jesus as my Lord. Okay? So hold that thought and let's go into James. And I'll challenge you with a thought here. In James chapter 5, it says, is anyone suffering? In verse 13, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Is anyone among you sick? He had to ask the question. How many know we don't have to ask that question most of the time in Christian circles today, because there's probably somebody sick. But he had to ask the question. Let him call the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The word save there is exactly the same word in Romans, and it's sozos, Greek word sozos. It means save, heal, delivered. And it includes physical and spiritual healing. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectant, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we see there, okay? Remember I told you about salvation? So you hear a message on healing, and you come to the front of the church, and you get prayed for, and you receive healing. But you go to the back of the church and someone says, well, how are you? And you say, well, I don't feel any different. What has that got to do with it? I'm asking you a question. Jesus said if you prayed, he would. What happens is we're looking at the natural instead of the supernatural. Because our body may still be hurting, we need to focus on what we just did. We asked Jesus to heal us. We need to learn to stand in that healing and believe God. And there's times, you know, that you may have to stand for a while. You may have to go to a doctor. But don't leave your position that Jesus Christ has made provision for your healing. Stand your ground. If you had a stray cat in your house, wrecking your house, you're just going to let him hang around, or you're going to take a broom? Well, if you got a stray cat in your body, same difference. Jesus has paid the price if that's settled in you. Okay? You may have to ask Jesus, because sometimes, I mean, we do things we shouldn't be doing. I mean, if you go out when it's 40 below without a coat on and you get a cold, you need healed from being stupid. It's the truth. You understand? We can have self-inflicted things that need to change, right? Okay? If you hold unforgiveness in your heart, How many know that's not healthy? Years ago, one time, my elbows and my shoulders just starting to hurt, and I don't know what arthritis feels like, but that must have been it. It just hurt something fierce. I couldn't hardly move my arms and shoulders. I said, God, what's up? Why am I hurting? Because I lived for 10, 20 years without anything. Cold, nothing. And all of a sudden, I'm hurting. He said, that guy that did that to you, you thought you forgive him, but you haven't really forgiven him. I said, God, by faith, I forgive him that left instantly. Close that door. Okay? So even when you pray for healing, you may have to ask God, you know, have I been stupid with what I'm eating or what I'm doing? Or do I need to forgive someone? Sometimes you just need to stand your ground. Every once in a while, Satan will try and test your faith in this area. Arlene said to me a couple weeks ago, what's up? I said, why? Heard you talking in the night. Well, I woke up in the night and the room is spinning. How many of you had that feeling? And just out of my mouth, out loud, out of my spirit was, no, you don't. You're not putting that on me. It stopped spinning. Next morning, I went to work. Working about an hour, same thing. I said, no, you don't. I'm not having you in me. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You ain't coming in here. So that's not mine. I'm not claiming that. It tried once more. How many know Jesus was tempted three times by the devil? Usually if you kick him three times, he usually had enough. You can literally do that. Because I'm a child of the King. I know he paid the price for me. Okay? I know. The price has been paid. I mean, if some sweet soul come along and paid the mortgage off on your house, it'd be kind of silly for you to keep paying, wouldn't it? Hello? Didn't Jesus pay? Wasn't the price paid? So if you start with that foundation that the price has been paid, then you're going to win a lot more battles. Okay? You're going to win a lot of those things. Years ago, I worked at this place and I coughed. Just went like that. And the woman that was the secretary there said, oh, you're catching a cold. I said, no, I'm not catching one of those. Why would I want to catch one of those? This went on the odd time over a few months, and she finally figured it out. You don't take that, do you? I said, no, I don't. It's not mine. Why would I take what's not mine? See, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and it transformed your spirit and made you a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says you became the righteousness of God by the confession of your mouth. Why do we think that other words won't affect us negatively? You all heard the saying, sticks and stones will break my bones and words will never hurt me. How many know that is a complete lie? Words will kill you. Okay? Your bones will heal. See, it's a big deal what we say and what we believe. But if you understand when you take communion that that price has been paid, then you have a foundation to stand on. have a foundation under me. I know Jesus paid the price. Whatever Satan did in the fall, Jesus redeemed us from. Do you think Adam and Eve had sickness and disease in the garden? Do you think they had any lack? I mean, God knew women like gold. He even told Adam where it was. He said, there's gold in the land of Ophir. Your wife might want a ring. See, God provided. So if you don't think it's in heaven and you don't think it's in the garden, then why are we accepting it? Just a question. See, do you know who you are? Question, where is the kingdom of God now? Where is it? Come on, answer. The Bible says, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Right? So if the kingdom of God is within me, why do I allow that other stuff? Why don't I stand my ground? Say, no, there's no sickness and disease in the kingdom of God. There's going to be none in heaven. Why should I tolerate it now here? Just a question. Ask yourself the question. See, I'm giving you a foundation and challenging the way you think. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? What you think about becomes a reality sooner or later. But if you put the Word of God in your mind and in your heart, it'll transform the way you think. Okay? It'll literally change the way you think. Because when something happens, the Scripture, God will speak to you from the Scripture you put in your heart. It'll literally rise up in you. And if you've meditated on the Scripture, memorized, you know that. If you taught your little children, thou shalt not steal, guess what? If they get in the cookie jar, they remember that one. Why? Because you put it in their heart, and they'll remember. Okay? So as you take communion this morning, and I could go on, there's many more scripture and verses. I just give you a few. Maybe I'll one more. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation. Satan really works on that one. And he wants you to condemn yourself more than anybody else. If you like to do things and you're a perfectionist at what you do, which kind of was my personality, then if you miss it, you're easily condemn yourself. How many know we need heal to that too? See, God values you and cherishes you. You think about it. Doesn't the Bible say Jesus is God? Doesn't it say Emmanuel among us? Think about it. He left glory. He came to earth born of a virgin. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to go to hell. He knew he was going to be raised from the dead. And he did that because he values you. Just think of the price he paid. Hanging on the cross, he could have called the angels. But he chose to die. If you got time, read Psalm 88 or Psalm 22. It talks about him going into the pit. It talks about the price. Psalm 22 is what he was quoting on the cross. See the price he paid. He did that for you and me, that we might be free. So get that in your foundation that Jesus loves you, he's good, he has paid the price. He's not willing that any should perish. Are people perishing? We can say if healing's in the atonement, then it's a bust, because look at all the sick Christians. Well, if on the flip side, Jesus paid the price for salvation, but there's a very small minority that have actually took him up on it. Everyone in this town, everyone in this territory, the price for salvation has been paid in full. Whether they ever know it or receive it, it's been paid for. And people will spend eternity in hell for something that's been bought and paid for them, because they don't know. Same with healing. If we don't know and have the foundation, we don't have a starting point to stand on or fight from. And if you get it in your mind that Jesus has paid the price, if I have to go to a doctor, go. But understand that Jesus has paid the price. It'll give you a foundation to stand from and to fight from. Okay? God's good. Okay? He's good. He's kind. He's loving. That's who he is. The Bible says in Romans 2:4 that the goodness of God leads to repentance. Because he's good. So as you take communion this morning, understand, make a distinction between the blood and the bread, and understand that that price has been paid. It will bring you up. It'll increase your faith. You won't waver. Like that word means wavering between two decisions. It'll stop that wavering because you know that the price has been paid. And you can stand on it. And you can walk in it. And as you start to build your faith, as you start to put the scripture in your heart, you will become stronger and stronger. I've sown a seed. First the seed, then the ear, then the corn in the ear. How many know the word will grow in you as you meditate till you can walk in it? And I don't care what scripture it is, any of it. So as I sowed this word, water it. If you're like me and you don't like being sick, water it. Grow in it. Walk as an overcomer in that area. Okay? Let's pray. Father, as we're understanding this morning the price that you have been paid, you have paid for us. Father, that we can walk in salvation, we can walk in healing. Father, thank you so much for coming, for taking those stripes for me. Father, for dying for me, for going to hell in my place. Father, for paying the price in full. Thank you so much. Father, that I have a thankful heart for what you have done for me. May I walk like you walked. Father, you said in 1 John 4:17 that as you are, so are we in this world. May we walk out the kingdom of God in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen.